Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Real Talks. I'm your host, David Steele. Okay, so this is, today is our usual weekly roundup. So we got a lot to get to, and a lot of fun stuff, and some interesting stuff as well. So we got four or five stories. We got a huge day today. So today you guys are getting at the roundup. A little later on, we've got The Last of Us on, which everybody is looking forward to, including myself and Kyle, who will be on later for the stream. And then we have the SAGs tonight, Screen Actors Guild. The PGA, the Producers Guild of America, was on last night. So we're going to be doing an after show about that, and we're going to be having a guest on, Matthew Anderson, who came on to talk about a month or two ago about potential wins and losses and what it could mean for some films. So we'll get into that a little bit later on tonight. But right now it's the roundup. I got four big stories, or five big stories, if you want to count the SAGs tonight. And let's get into the first story. So, as everybody knows, there was a little Marvel movie that came out this last week, okay? And that was Ant-Man and the Wasp. And we covered it here on the show, and it was okay. But so it wasn't okay for Marvel. Because what happened was there was an absolute, it fell off the cliff. It was amazing to see the drop of what happened. So here is what happened. So this comes from The Hollywood Reporter. And the box office for Ant-Man 3, or Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, however you want to say it, got mauled by Cocaine Bear. And it suffered a nearly 70% drop. And I'll tell you why that's significant in a bit. So Marvel and Disney's Ant-Man and the Wasp have stayed on top of the domestic box office chart in its sophomore outing with an estimated $32.2 million. But the real superhero over the weekend was Universal's high-concept genre pick, Cocaine Bear. Directed by Elizabeth Banks, Cocaine Bear opened to $23.1 million after stealing away younger adults, and particularly males, from the Ant-Man threequel. Overseas, it sniffed out $5.3 million with an early global total of $28.4 million against a reported budget of $35 million before marketing. Ant-Man fell 69.7% in North America, the worst decline ever for a title in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, after eclipsing Black Widow's 67.8% drop. The latter pick had the disadvantages of opening during the pandemic and was made available simultaneously in the home. The Ant-Man 3-quel also suffered the worst second weekend drop of any superhero film, opening to $100 million or more. DC's Batman vs. Superman: Dawn of Justice previously sat in the hot seat at 69.1%. Among MCU moviegoers in the category, last year's Thor: Love and Thunder saw the biggest decline, or 67.7%, after debuting at 144.2%. And among all the films starting off with $100 million or more, the final Harry Potter installment, released in 2011, topped the list of the biggest second-week drop-offs with a decline of 72%, according to Comscore. Ant-Man 3 opened to $120.4 million over the four-day President Day weekend, including a franchise-best $106.1 million for the 3 days. The three-day number is used for the often comparison moving forward. So that is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But poor word of mouth is clearly hurting the movie along with the competition posed by Cocaine Bear, nor did a historic storm on the West Coast help. And by the way, I'm in California. And yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. So some people are getting hail. Some people are getting rain. I rained over here for 2 days. So yeah, it's been crazy. Overseas, the superhero threequel earned another $46.4 million for a global tally of $363.6 million, including a domestic cumulative of $167.3 and $196.3 million internationally. And then it goes on to talk about what Cocaine Bear is about. And so I'll just read the quick synopsis. Cocaine Bear is a dark comedy about a drug smuggling operation that goes horribly awry when a 500-pound bear ingests a duffel bag of cocaine and goes on a I'm laughing because of the premise and killing rampage in a small Georgia town. Banks also produced the high-profile genre pick along with Phil Lord, Christopher Miller, Max Handler, Brian Duffer, and others. The feature earned a B-minus cinema score, which is, while low, generally not a problem for the horror-centric picks. And heading into the weekend, Cocaine Bear was tracking for $15 to $17 million. So, okay, there's a lot of things going on here. Number one, it seems that Marvel is just putting out subpar stuff. I mean, that is the way it looks right now, even though they had a huge opening. So that, you know, 67.9 or 67.1, it's huge. I mean, so your average drop in a perfect world is 40 to 50%. So if it opens at 100 million, then it will drop 50%. So what ends up happening is if it opens to 100 million, what ends up happening is it'll drop to like 50 or 60, maybe 70 if you're lucky. Then if it gets a little bad word of mouth, it's, you know, 50 to 60. This fell off a cliff. There's no other way of doing it and saying it. This fell off a cliff in almost 70%. And there's a lot of things to do with it, right? So, I mean, number one, you can talk about the visual effects. Okay. They were shoddy. Okay, that's a main, you know, thing. Now, that's not anybody's fault. Okay, that is Marvel's fault, because that's a whole other video for another time. Overworking people, underpaying them, whatever you want to call them. Number two, the plot. It was subpar. There's no other way to say it. It was a subpar plot. There wasn't much character development. And by the way, guys, if you want to go back and watch a spoiler cast about Ant-Man and the Wasp, you can do that too. We have that on the channel. Just go under the title of spoiler casts. Go down to the playlist, look under spoiler cast, and it's going to be there for you guys. So that's part of it too. Okay. Character development was not there. And number three, it didn't work. Now, while it didn't work, there were some great things to it. Like, I love Michelle Pfeiffer in this movie. I think she's great. I think the scenes between Jonathan Majors and Michelle Pfeiffer are amazing. And I wish they had more of them. But this, you know, one of the things from Marvel and that you really have to wonder about is where do they go from here? Because the same guy that wrote this is actually doing Kang Dynasty, and that's an Avengers movie, right? So I don't know. All of that being said, this is the fourth movie that has really been subpar. Okay. I mean, if you know, they're always looking. So what Marvel is doing now is they're looking for the big opening weekend, which they're getting. Okay. And the second week drop off is just falling off a cliff. Now, according to Deadline, it's reached 364 million. So that was that article I just read you guys was 2 days ago. It has reached $364 million worldwide, and it's probably going to go over to hit $500 million. Okay, that is it's okay. It's not great. I think that Marvel has a big problem as far as they're looking for a big opening weekend. And then if it's not good, then this is what happens. In the last four films that we've had, okay, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, Thor, Love, and Thunder, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, with the exception of Black Panther. They've had huge opening weekends, and then what's ended up happening is that their second week drop has been very significant. So, you know, they've got a lot to atone for. I think the story, their story, the way their stories are going are just not good. So, this is the litmus test. So it will be interesting to see what happens come May 5th, because we do have Guardians of the Galaxy coming in May 5th. And the next week, okay, so Fast 9 comes out the 19th, okay? It's going to be interesting to see what the drop is for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. If this makes, and I'm just putting numbers up there, let's say it makes $150 million opening weekend, okay? How much is it going to drop? So it's going to be fascinating to see. I should ask, what do you guys think of the drop? Do you think that's okay for Marvel? Do you think they care? How many times have you seen Ant-Man? Did you like Ant-Man? Leave your thoughts down in the comments and we'll get back to you. So let's move on to our next story. And that is a little movie that Amazon is going to be putting out. Now, you say Amazon and movies, what's going on here? So they are now, you have Matt Damon and you have Ben Affleck that are going to be telling the story of Michael Jordan. I think this is very, very interesting because everybody's wanted to see a Michael Jordan story, right? I mean, he's one of the most famous people, not only athletes, but people in the world. And it's always interesting to see biopics, right? I'm going to be very fascinated to see who they get to play Michael Jordan, right? I mean, that's you'd hope with Amazon that they have a lot of money. So here is the... The story comes from Deadline, and the Cinemark CEO sees Air, okay, jump-starting streaming in cinemas with a solid window, okay? And the article reads, the Amazon upcoming wide release of Ben Affleck and Matt Damon's Nike movie, Air, exclusively in theaters in April, quote, could represent the start of a substantial move into theatrical exhibition by streaming companies, end quote, says Sean Gamble, chief executive in the nation's third largest movie chain behind AMC and Regal. AMC last month relieved plans to give Air a wide theatrical release April 5th, which is only, 6 weeks away, give or take, maybe a little over 2 months. The streamer's first wide release since Mindy Kaling's Late Night in the summer of 2019. It provided the pick with a nice opening Super Bowl ad. Content from the streamers could get a boost for wide release slate that badly needs the boost over 100 films of this year and beyond, creeping back 100 from 130 from the COVID. And he goes on to say, all of the traditional studio partners that are insisting that a theatrical is the way to go is creating value, Gamble said. Basically, it goes on to say that, so he said several other things. And basically what he's saying is that this kind of release is going to give streamers a big, big boost to product, which begs the question, okay? What would have happened with Glass Onion? So Glass Onion, of course, as everybody knows, is the film that was in theaters from Netflix only for a week because they wanted to get more and more and more subscriptions. So it's fascinating to see that you have two heavyweights in Affleck and Damon that are going to be making this movie with Amazon, and Apple's going to give it a full theatrical window. I don't know about the title, but it's interesting. I mean, you could have called it Michael, but that's a whole other thing for another time. I think they're probably saving that for the Michael Jackson biopic, actually. Nonetheless, this looks fun. I'm a sports fan. I love sports. I grew up during the 90s. I remember Michael Jordan, you know, doing all these things when he was a player. But this is actually going to be not as a player, but right when he becomes a rookie. So this is like right when Nike is starting to come into their own. And they talk about the, you know, how the Air Jordans were made and everything else. So I think that it's one of those things where I'm glad they're giving this a full theatrical release. I think it needs one. And they're going to get subscriptions from this. And this is the way to go. And this is what Netflix should have done with Glass Onion, in my opinion. Had they given this a six-week release, they could have made $100 million easily and gotten subscriptions. I don't know why they wouldn't do it. But nonetheless, I think that, you know, I'm very, very excited to see this movie. I think it's worthwhile. I think the right people are doing it. And Damon, who, by the way, was from, you know, they're both sports fans, so they really know. I mean, they're going to get the right people to write this and develop this and make this. So, but yeah, I mean, with all the streaming services out there right now, I think that you really need to these streamers really need to do this. So I hope that this is an example for all of these other streamers out there to say, you know what, this made $55, $60 million. And we need to do this. And by the way, they're going to get all the subscriptions they want. So I think it's the right way to go. I can't wait for this. I think it's going to be a fun, you know, just a fun movie. And you're going to find things out about Michael Jordan I never knew. You know, I mean, I'm not the biggest Michael Jordan fan, but, you know, I mean, for example, a lot of people don't know that he got cut from his high school team, you know? So, you know, I'm sponsored by them or push it. One of the greatest documentaries, if you ever want to watch a great documentary, it's called The Last Dance on Netflix. And I watched it. It was on ESPN when it first aired, but it's now on Netflix and it's fantastic. And so the reason why it got the name The Last Dance is because it was the last year that the GM and everybody was going to keep it together. So it's a fabulous, fabulous thing. I can't wait to see this. What do you guys think? Are you excited for this movie? Are you going to go see this? Because it is Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Do you think other streamers should do what they're doing with this movie? And that's leaving it in a full theatrical window for 45 days. Let me know. Leave your thoughts down in the comments. I'll get back to everybody. Okay, so let's move on to our next story. So our next story is about a little show that's going to be coming out that everybody's going to be looking forward to in the next, I don't know, 2 months. And that's The Mandalorian. Now, truth be told, I just finished The Mandalorian last night. I just finished the second season of The Mandalorian last night. I kind of knew what the ending was. I mean, I had heard it or had seen it. And so I had an idea what it was. I'm really interested to see where they go from here. So the reason I bring this up is, according to Variety, The Mandalorian has no ending plan, says Jon Favreau. It's not like there's a finale that we're building to. So HBO just announced that the Emmy-winning Succession will end with its fourth upcoming season. The team behind Yellowjackets has been open about a fifth season plan. Does The Mandalorian creator Jon Favreau have a similar endgame in mind for his beloved Star Wars story? I think the beauty of this is that this is a middle chapter of a much larger story, Favreau told Film Magazine. He said after the show, which kicks off its third season next month. And though we have resolution over time with these characters, it's not like there's a finale that we're building up to I have in mind. Quite the contrary, he says. I love for these stories to go on and on, so these characters could potentially be with us for a while. I really love telling stories in their voice, and I love the way the adventures unfold, and I'm looking forward to do much more. Favreau has already confirmed that the fourth season of The Mandalorian is already written. So he's got the fourth season already done. The show is designed to effortlessly fit in the larger scope of Star Wars storytelling that is on the way with the new Disney series such as Ahsoka and Skeleton Crew. Season 4? Yeah, I've written it already, Favreau told BMF. We have to know where we're going to tell a fully formed story. We've mapped it out. Dave Filoni, who's directed a few episodes, and I have slowly started writing each episode. I was writing it during post-production. All of it has to feel like a continuation of one full story. While Favreau is unsure about the ending of The Mandalorian, he is certain that the weekly release schedule is never going to change. The goal is that we have enough things that happen each episode that everybody wants to jump back in around the digital kitchen table and talk about and argue and guess what's going to happen next, Favreau said. I think we're on Disney Plus where each week is another episode and it's not all dropped at once. So it's a back and forth. And I'd love to see if we've guessed right. I'd love to see which ones people react to better and ultimately get the report card if we're doing our job well. So it's interesting because here's the thing. He's taking a swipe at Netflix. And the thing is that it's one of those things where if you didn't know better, he's like, oh yeah, let Netflix drop what they want. And we'll just continue to do our week-to-week stuff. And we've shown that we can actually be proven and actually have the number one show in the world. Of course, he's talking about, The Mandalorian, but this is exactly what WandaVision did. So when WandaVision, all those people that don't remember, WandaVision actually started out week to week and it grew and grew and grew. By the end of the series, it was the number one show in the world. So, but The Mandalorian had come first, and so it's really starting to do this. This is going to be huge. As a matter of fact, Kyle and I are going to be doing a Mandalorian week-to-week series. So guys, stay tuned for that. That's going to be fun. I watched the second season last night. It was good. It was good. I mean, I thought it was a good show. So he says, got inside. Are you asking if I have inside scoop on Disney? Because I don't. This is what Favreau said to one of the film magazines about a week ago. I took that, by the way, that article came from Variety, one of the trades. So yeah, it's one of those things. No, this guy does. Oh, okay. Interesting. Right here. Okay. Very cool. I will. Okay. So, we're going to have to talk. I'm eager to hear everything you have to say. So definitely, as I said, where can I follow you? Where can I talk to you? I don't know if you're on Twitter, but here's my handle. Okay. Or subscribe to the channel if you would be so kind, and we will definitely connect one way or the other. So we will definitely connect. But yeah, so Mandalorian is going to continue. And it's going to continue for a long time. I liked it. It was good. Pedro Pascal is the hottest thing out there right now. I mean, as a matter of, he's going to be in two. Well, he's going to have two number one shows in the world. Of course, we're talking about The Last of Us, which, by the way, guys, Kyle and I were going to be doing a stream of The Last of Us, episode 6, Left Behind. So stay tuned for that after the show. And finally, he's going to have this, and this is going to run for a full 2 months. I do like the fact that there are 8 episodes. So you are it's not too long, but it's not too short either. It's right in that sweet spot. I'm dying to see where they go in season three. I actually have a theory of where I think they're going to go. Okay. So in the second season, of course, we see Mando take off his helmet. And by the way, spoilers. So Dick or anybody else watching. So we see him take off his helmet. And I've seen the trailer once or twice. One of the big things is that he was not supposed to take his helmet off. I think season three is going to center around Mando making amends of him taking his helmet off and, you know, doing that because that was the creed and that is the way of the Mandalorians. So it's going to be interesting to see how that whole thing's out. Now, mind you, that's just a theory. And so I don't know if that's exactly what they're going to do. I'd like to see it. I don't know where else where they could go. So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that there's going to be, you know, do you guys have any theories about The Mandalorian? What would you like to see in season three of The Mandalorian? What do you make of having the fourth season already written of The Mandalorian? Do you think that's good or bad? Leave us your thoughts down in the comments and I'll get back to everybody. Okay, so let's move on to another story. And this one is a very good story. And I'm glad to see he's coming back for not only this film, but hopefully many more. And that is John Williams. He is, you can basically... He is like the godfather of scoring films. And he is an amazing, amazing composer. There's nobody to rival John Williams. John Williams is, you have Hans Zimmer, did the Bond thing. You've got all these other fantastic composers. But when you're talking about a composer that has just done everything. He's got 4 Academy Awards. He's worked on some of the biggest titles in the world. And his legacy is just unbelievable. So the reason I bring this up is because according to Variety, John Williams, who is up for another Oscar this year for The Fabelmans, which, by the way, would be his 5th. He's just turned 91. That's amazing in itself. 53rd Oscar nomination. Think about that. 53rd Oscar nomination. Okay. So he has come out and said that he's talking about Indiana Jones. I felt like I was being invited into an inner family, close circle of discussion in their lives together. The fact that Steven is dealing with something so personal, he's talking about the Fabelmans here, actually, combined with the fact that I knew both, referring to Steven's parents, who attended their frequent scoring sessions. It goes on to say that he scored 90 minutes of the Indiana Jones. 90 minutes. So I don't know. I don't have the total running time in front of me. But that's amazing when you think about it. 90 minutes. This is going to be not only one of the biggest movies of the summer. It's going to be, I think, one of the best Indiana Jones movies. I really, really do. I think this is going to, it's coming out on June 30th. And I think it's going to be amazing. And so... there's nothing more I guess I can say about this movie, but wow. But wow, 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 wow. The one thing I'll say is this. Everybody has to appreciate what John Williams brings is now. Because he's 91, he's doing amazing things. I can't wait to see Indiana Jones. we have to appreciate him now. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think that, you know, you always, it's always, you don't appreciate things until they're gone. Well, I mean, you got to wonder how much more he can do, right? That's like Spielberg, you know. And those two are like, and I always compare them like peanut butter and jelly. Because everything they do together and they do so well. Whether it's the Fablemans, whether it's Jaws, whether it's, you know, Indiana Jones. He has some of the most iconic, iconic music of all time. Like, you know, Star Wars. You hear the first few notes and it goes off, right? I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to see this. This is fantastic news. And to hear 90 minutes, that's a long, long time. Now, I don't know how much of the 90 minutes was used. So he says, let Harrison Ford retire. What the fuck? No, yeah, I know. Harrison Ford is one of those. Harrison Ford is turning 80, I think, to answer your question. I think he is turning 80 years old. Or he just recently did in the last few months. John Williams, as I said, turned 91. So they've been working together for a long, long time. I think one of their first ventures they did was Jaws back in 1975. So, I mean, you're talking almost 50 years. This is going to be Harrison. And by the way, Harrison Ford is still acting. He's on Apple TV right now. I forgot the name of the show off the top of my head, but he's still acting. Yeah, this is going to be an amazing movie. I can't wait to hear his music. Like, that was him riding a horse in the subway. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know how much of it. So this movie cost $297 million to make, okay? And the reason why it cost $297 million to make is because they were using a lot of what's known as de-aging technology. And that being said, that that's where most of the money went, was effects and how they were done. I you know, it is what it is. All I care about is to have a good time in theater. That's all I care about. If I have a good time in the theater, I'm going to be happy. I'm not going there in there for any Academy Award winning, you know, anything. It's just a fun movie. And that's the number one thing a movie should do, is entertain. So, but yeah. So let me ask you guys. 90 minutes is a long time for a lot of music. What do you guys think? Do you guys think that, are you excited to hear the new score by John Williams? Are you excited to see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny? Are you happy that John Williams is not going to be retiring? Let me know what you think down in the comment section. So the final story of the day is, so we have a big award show coming up tonight. And that is the SAGs. And the SAGs are one of those shows that let's put it this way. The SAGs are one of those shows that not a lot of people watch. And for that reason, that's why they're going on Netflix. Okay. And that's why they're going to be streaming. So from now on, okay, because this used to be on TNT every single year. And Netflix finally got the rights to streaming. They finally got the streaming rights to the Screen Actors Guild. So it's going to be interesting to see really how well it does tonight. Netflix is never going to release numbers. It's one of those things where they're just going to, you know, put it on. I'm going to watch it. So as I said, we are going to be doing an after show tonight. Matthew Anderson and I are going to be doing an after show. We're going to talk about all the nominees And we're even going to touch upon the PGAs, the Producers Guild of America. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that. This is going to be one of the last stops to the Oscars. As a matter of fact, I believe, if I'm not curious, the Oscars are 3 weeks from tonight. So that just goes to show you, what is going on. So here are some of the presenters for tonight's ceremony. We've got Zendaya, we've got Jeff Bridges, and we have Emily Blunt. So they're going to be presenting, I don't know what categories, but those are going to be three of the presenters tonight. And as I said, this is going to be the last major stop to the road to the Oscars. And, it's going to be fascinating, absolutely fascinating to see who wins and who doesn't. Or do the chances fade? I mean, I think a couple of them are pretty much done. We can talk about that tonight. But it's one of those things where I think that this is one of those shows that people, and this is why, as I said, they moved to Netflix to actually get more viewership. So I think this is going to be a fun show. It's going to be interesting to see who the winners are. If last night's PGAs are any indication, the Producers Guild of America, then we might have a couple of things solidified. Otherwise, it's still up in the air. It's still up in the air. And I think that is the biggest thing about the award season, right? Is because you have so many different awards, you don't know who's going to win what. You have the BAFTAs, you've got the Golden Globes, you've got the SAGs, you've got the PGAs, you've got the DGAs. I don't want to miss one. Of course, that all leads up to the Oscars, the big one. That everybody wants that gold little trophy. So, I think that the whole Netflix streaming thing, it will be interesting to see what they do and how they do it. That's going to be fun. That's going to do it for this week. I wanted to bring this to you guys. So a couple quick housekeeping notes. Number one, as I said, we are going to be having a stream of The Last of Us Left Behind, episode number 6 tonight. So come back right back here and tune in for that. If you haven't already, please hit that like and subscribe button. We want to get this out to as many people as possible. We've got a huge 2023 coming up. Kyle and I are going to be doing a ton of spoiler casts. And we want everybody to get these. So we've got The Last of Us. And then we have Creed 3. This is going to be so much. So next week we're going to be doing a whole Creed week. And Kyle and I are going to be sitting down and watching Creed and Creed 2. And then I'm going to go see Creed 3 probably on Wednesday. We've got a spoiler cast on that Saturday. And then after that, these are all going to be spoiler casts. March 5th, Guardians of the Galaxy, Part 3. We're going to be doing a spoiler cast for that. We've got Across the Spider-Verse. June's going to be huge. Okay, that's June 2nd. The 9th, we've got Transformers. We've got the 16th, we've got The Flash. We have, as we were just talking about earlier, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I still don't like that name, but okay. That's the one they're going with. June 30th, we've got, I think, the biggest movie of the year. Hands down. Hands down is going to be the biggest movie of the year. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. Because it is Tom Cruise's part one to the last film of Mission Impossible. And then not pictured here is going to be Barbie, but that same week we have the Christopher Nolan film Oppenheimer. So we're going to be getting a lot of spoiler casts to you guys. So stay tuned for that. We will, you know, be doing The Mandalorian as far as a watch through. Kyle and I, every single week, we'll be bringing that to you. As I said, Creed Week's next week. We've got the SAGs tonight, so stay tuned for that stream. Last of Us, I know I keep saying that. This is the number one stream show in the world right now. And as I said, guys, come back. Hit that subscribe button. Come back. Enjoy the content. And you can't get this much content for what we're giving you anywhere else. I mean, you've got to pay for all that other content, whether it's Netflix or Apple or Hulu or HBO Plus. You're getting all this stuff for free. So that's not to mention we're trying to mix up interviews too. You know, Kyle just sat down. If you want to watch a really cool interview, Kyle just sat down with the editor of The Last of Us. Yes, the number one streaming show in the world. He just sat down with Timothy Good. Go check that out on the channel, guys. It was a blast. So, you know, he really walks you through the process of what it's like to edit and music and sound and everything else. But okay, guys. So I will see you guys back here in probably a couple hours for The Last of Us Left Behind, episode number 6. And I would say this. Do the 3 things we always need to do. Number 1, be safe out there. Especially if you're in LA, be safe because it's crazy out there. Number 2, be careful. And number 3, you need to have a great day, no matter where you are. I'm David Steele, and you have been watching Real Talks. Bye-bye, guys.